Right now, a honeybee found in Wisconsin and Minnesota was recently put on the endangered species list. The move comes after years of concern about the health of pollinator populations as bee colonies around the world collapse and scientists work to get a handle on the reasons why.
Daniel Lee Kleinman joins us now. He's an associate provost for graduate affairs at Boston University and the co-author of the new book, Vanishing Bees, Science, Politics, and Honeybee Health. Daniel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me, Veronica.
Well, Daniel, a bumblebee in Wisconsin, lives in Wisconsin and Minnesota, recently got listed as an endangered species. Can you tell us about that bee and what that listing might mean?
Well, so I think the main thing that we talk about in our books, in our book, is honeybees that are commercially managed. So the bee that is prospectively on the endangered species list is not, as far as I know, commercially managed, but like many of the species of plants and animals that we have in this country, has become endangered probably because some of the practices in which we're engaging. And when that happens, the government often takes action to protect the species to maintain diversity. There are all kinds of pollinators across the country and in Wisconsin that help pollinate the crops that we eat. But again, the focus of the work that we've done is on commercial pollinators, honeybees.
Well, the health of honeybee populations has been a concern for years now. So where do we stand in the overall health of these bees?
Well, they're not that healthy. So some time ago, you know, you could expect a small number of bees to die every year, and that number has escalated in recent years. And there are likely a large number of reasons for it, but honeybee keepers, beekeepers who maintain honeybees in particular to work with growers to pollinate crops have accepted a new normal of a high number of deaths every year.
Now, a lot of evidence is pointing to a chemical, neonicotinoids. This is something found in a lot of insecticides. Can you walk us through what exactly those are?
So they're systemic insecticides that are used to control insects, and sometimes they're needed and sometimes they're not needed. I think there's widespread agreement that these neonicotinoids probably contribute to the ill health of honeybees, but they are not the only thing, and they are a matter of concern, but we need to look at the broad range of factors that are affecting honeybees.
And what kind of broad range of factors besides just the specific class of chemicals?
Yeah, so one of the things that I had meant to say a second ago about these chemicals is that they may be adversely affecting the health of honeybees, but they're not killing them outright. And honeybees are made vulnerable by the lack of diversity of forage that they have. They're made vulnerable by being trucked across the country. So honeybees that are commercially managed might pollinate almonds in California and blueberries in Maine and a number of crops all along the way, and that stresses the honeybees out. They are exposed to mites, and they're exposed to miticides. They're exposed to viruses. So likely these factors interact in complex ways, including the systemic insecticides, adversely affecting the honeybees. And so while my co-author and I think it would probably be a valuable thing to take these in systemic insecticides, these neonicotinoids, off the market, we're unlikely to see major improvement in honeybee health simply by doing that.
Daniel Lee Kleinman is with us right now. He's co-author of the book Vanishing Bees, Science, Politics, and Honeybee Health. And you write about colony collapse disorder. This has been found in this country and in other places around the world, too. And there was something you write about that looked a lot like colony collapse disorder in France. We're not sure exactly what it was, but can you tell us about that?
Well, so colony collapse disorder refers to a set of symptoms, really. So often you'll see that bees die, and they'll die in the hive or near the hive. What happens in the case of colony collapse disorder is the honeybees leave, and we don't see them again. You know, honeybees are small. They can travel a couple of miles away from the hives, and they just disappear. The honey stays in the hives, so that means that no other insects or animals are stealing the honey, stealing the pollen. It's perplexing.
And in France, this was something maybe called mad bee disease. Is that what they dubbed it?
Right.
And what did the French do to deal with it?
Well, so, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, the French did take systemic insecticides off the market. To be honest, I don't know what kind of reduction in honeybee deaths that resulted in, or if it led to substantial improvement in health, but they did take them off the market.
So far, what has the approach been of dealing with, you know, maybe neonicotinoids, drug companies that manufacture them, and the possible link with bees? What has the approach been in this country?
Well, so there has been talk, and actually, I'm not 100% certain of this, but some regulatory changes that are likely to restrict the use of these systemic insecticides. But at a basic level, the position of Bayer, which is one of the major producers of these neonicotinoids, has been, hey, look, unless we see decisive evidence that this is the thing that's responsible for killing the bees, we don't want it taken off the market. And if it is one factor among many that interacts with, a set of other factors, then we're never going to see that decisive effect. And so Bayer is never going to agree to take it off the market on its own. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has historically taken much the same position, which is to say that unless we know for sure that a given chemical is doing irreparable harm, we're not going to take it off the market. Whereas a number of beekeepers have taken the position that we should be cautious. We should err on the side of caution. And often, certainly to us, that seems like a sensible position.
Do beekeepers present a unified front when it comes to the action that they'd like taken to help?
No, that's a great question. So some beekeepers believe that these neonicotinoids are one among a number of factors, that they play an important role in harming honeybee health, and that they should be taken off the market. Other beekeepers believe that better beekeeping practices would solve the problems. So there are an array of positions among beekeepers, and beekeepers don't indeed represent one single line of position.
You've got the beekeepers who are caring for the bees and the commercialized aspects, and then you've got the science being done. Is there overlap? Are the beekeepers involved in the science?
Well, one of the things that we found truly fascinating is that some beekeepers are essentially doing their own science, that they are out in the fields, that they'll put their hives in different kinds of fields that are exposed to different chemicals, different forage, different factors, and they'll monitor these very closely and look at the different health effects on their honeybees. You know, in recent years, well, among other things, my collaborator Cy and I have brought together scientists, beekeepers, growers, and others to think through some of these issues, and found that they had overlapping concerns and were able to think productively together about what kind of experiment should be done to understand this problem and what kind of solutions might be appropriate.
And is that kind of approach, that's collaboration between the beekeepers and the scientists, is that yielding any good ground?
Well, we think it has real potential. One of the things that we saw in bringing these groups together over the course of a couple of years is that they progressively came to understand one another's perspectives. And so if that can happen, then on the one hand, you get the different knowledges that each group has to offer being contributed to the other, so that they're going to see things in new ways. And on the other hand, together, these groups are going to come up with solutions that we haven't come up with up till now.
And Daniel, before we let you go, is there anything that citizens can do to get involved?
That's a really great question. So I think that it's a complicated issue. One of the things that I would say that would be helpful for citizens to be doing is to read carefully and thoroughly about a broad array of issues of environmental consequence, because this is a complex problem, much like climate change is a complex problem, and a single factor or a single causal explanation isn't going to help us either understand the issue or respond to it. So understanding the complexity is very important. Beyond that, supporting sustainable agriculture, diverse agriculture, local agriculture are all things that are going to probably contribute to honeybee health.
Daniel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for your time, Veronica.
That is Daniel E. Kleiman, Associate Provost for Graduate Affairs at Boston University and the co-author of Vanishing Bees.